consideration recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 6 through 20. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I have given you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. This is our text. In the name of the God of all nations, our Lord, dear friends in Christ. Kind of exciting as a nation to celebrate again on July 4th. Well, the children of Israel were going to be celebrating. Moses had led them through the wilderness. They're about to enter the promised land, and Moses has some special words of advice, encouragement, warning for them. And so Moses says, we're going to a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. We're ready to sit back and say, wow, if Moses thought that was a good land, a land of 6,000 square miles, a land the size of the state of Maryland, what would Moses say about our land? With all the beauty of it, with all the forestry and fishing and agriculture and the minerals, and the hills and the valleys and the streams and the lakes, and the list just goes on and on and on. What a good land. What a beautiful land. And certainly we could all tell stories of places in our land that we especially appreciate because of its beauty. And then the good government that the Lord has led the forefathers to establish. So there are frailties, but it's a government that cares about the people. That, yes, wants equity, wants to be fair, wants to provide for the poor and the needy and the handicapped. A government that centers in its freedoms. And certainly we rejoice in the freedom that we can worship the Lord as we choose. But then we hear the warning that Moses has for the people. Beware! Beware of what? Beware that when you have entered this good land and the Lord has given you prosperity, when all goes well for you, that then you forget the Lord your God. That you're ready to sit back and say, look at what we have done. We are the ones who produced all that. We are the ones who gained all of our prosperity. The children of Israel were prone to do that at times. How about America? What do we talk about? Do we hear a lot about, wow, the Lord is the one who takes care of us. The Lord is the one who blesses us, who provides for us. Or is it our ingenuity, our technology, our military might, our economic success? And the list goes on and on. And Moses says, you know, hear this as a loving warning from the Lord. Because the Lord really cares about you. Remember how he brought you out of Egypt when you were slaves there. But then he brought you through the desert. And he did some humbling of you there, didn't he? That you would keep on relying on him alone when there was no food, and then he provided manna, or no water, and he had the rock struck and water gushed out. When you had to face those fiery serpents or the scorpions. Oh, that you might recognize we are totally dependent on the Lord. And so the Lord humbling us also as a nation. Gone through a couple of world wars, even though no bombs fell on our peaceful land, lots of American blood was shed in lots of other soils. There have been other wars, the Great Depression, the drought years, all pretty humbling, all to recognize, wow, all these things that we can pray about that we have, they can't do anything to resolve our issues. We're dependent on the Lord. And how many times don't we read in the scriptures of the Lord allowing calamities or even allowing drought to come to the people so that, again, they would turn back to the Lord? And so as we experience, as we hear about strange weather patterns going on around our country and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the floods and the fires and the list goes on and on, do we hear it as a call from the Lord to say, it's time to repent. It's time to turn back and recognize what the Lord has done for you, how the Lord has provided for you, how the Lord has protected you, how the Lord has blessed you. And so maybe it's easy for us to do, but you know, we're not all that bad. And we're certainly not as bad as some of those nations or those nations. And Israel would feel the same way. And so to help them to repent, the Lord gave the Ten Commandments, certainly as a guideline for how to live, but also to look at to see how have we failed the Lord. And so as we consider them on the one end as a nation, but consider them also in terms of our own personal self. The first commandment, don't have any other gods before me. Recognizing there's only one true God. Well, Israel did that for a lot of times, but then there were also the times that they went over to other gods, the Ashtaroth, to the Baals, to whatever gods some other nation worshipped. What do we trust in alone? Our finances? Our power, our good health, our ingenuity. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Ooh, how are we doing as a nation with that? How much TV or movies can you watch without the Lord's name having been taken in vain, as though they don't even care who God is. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, worshiping. How many people in America this weekend you imagine gathering for worship? Sad to say, the children of Israel didn't do so well on those first three commandments. God warned them through the prophets, come back to the Lord your God, trust in him. Eventually it got so bad that he allowed the 10 northern tribes to be taken off into captivity by the Assyrians, never to come back again. Wow. The other prophets, especially in the southern tribes, had some real words to say to them, didn't they? To say to those other tribes, now let's remain true to the Lord, because look at what happened. You know, they all got taken away. That could happen to us. And so they were true to the Lord for a while, but after 150 years, guess what? The Babylonians came and took them off into captivity for 70 years. Did they learn their lesson? How about for us? When we think of, during the time of Jesus, the time of the disciples, Israel, hearing God's word, you know, being a people of God. But then after a while, didn't seem to care anymore. How many Christians would you find in Israel today? Or then it went to Greece, the nations, the cities that Paul would write to, and how enthusiastic they were for God's word. But then they turned away from it. And then to the rest of Europe and Germany, good old Lutheranism. How many Lutherans do you think would be in church today? Or the Scandinavian countries or England? That's all Christianity is pretty well left. We like to say we're a Christian nation. Are we still? How long will God's word, God's ways be important for us as a people? And so important for us to hear what Moses has to say and to hear that warning and to hear that call for repentance. Then he goes on with the fourth commandment of honoring father and mother and those in authority over us. And hasn't it just been heartbreaking to see, as the years have gone on, how more disrespectful, not just children to parents and grandparents, but the people, disrespectful to those in authority. Fifth commandment, don't kill. We've got laws against that, except caring for the unborn. And now starting to open up to say, hey, it's all right. In some places, almost encouraged to get the abortion. The sixth commandment, not commit adultery, not sinning sexually, whether in thoughts or words or actions. And again, watching movies, watching TV, how many of them can you watch without it almost being promoted? What do they care about God's word or God's laws? Seventh commandment, don't steal. Got laws against that. And yet how much cheating, how much dishonesty goes on out there, but maybe even in here. Eighth commandment, not bearing false witness. No lying, no gossiping, no slander, no ruining somebody else's reputation. And it goes rampant. Ninth and tenth commandments against coveting, whether things that are alive or even stationary things. And yet the whole advertising business is almost, you don't have enough, you should have this, don't be content, be envious, be jealous of your neighbor so that you come and buy this and get this. Yes, good reason that Moses says, hey, it's time to repent. It's time to recognize our sinfulness. as a nation, but also as an individual. And to be truly sorry for those sins, because they're sins against God, as well as sins against our fellow man. But the good news is that we can keep coming together to hear his good news that says, but Jesus paid for those sins. Yes, Jesus went to the cross. He took our guilt. He took our shame. He took our punishment, that for all who are sorry for those sins and trust in him, have forgiveness. Not just a little. Complete. Total. Something to celebrate. And this morning we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper. As he specially says to each one of us, here it is, my body and my blood that was on that cross, given and shed for you. Yes, for the forgiveness of your sins. Don't just hear that word, but hear, taste that. Taste my love for you. By complete forgiveness. And then recognize my care for you, my center in your life. The blessings that I keep on providing for you. Not for you just to use selfishly. Not to abuse. But to use those blessings in my name and to my glory, but also for the good and the need of your fellow man. Moses doesn't mention it, but as we read through what Paul has to say, or what Peter has to say, or even Jesus having to say, in terms of our relationship to government, is the encouragement that we pray for them. Interesting, from Peter and Paul's position, because the government then was not favorable towards Christianity. Rather, they were facing persecutions. And yet for them both to encourage, let's pray for the leaders. And so the question comes to us. As you think back over the last week or the last month or since the beginning of the year, how much complaining did you do about the government, whether state or national, or the leaders? And then how much praying did you do for the leaders, whether in our state or in our nation? Pray not just that the Lord gives them good health and gives them good wisdom, that they make good decisions, that they truly care, that they're providing for the best that they can for the members of our nation, of our community. All to the glory of God. The Lord's blessings keep coming. And so as we receive them, we rejoice to worship him, we rejoice to serve him, and in his name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your lives in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting, amen.